All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 states this. This is Paul writing to the church in Corinth. He goes, "The message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction. But we who are being saved know it is the very power of God. As the scripture says, I will destroy wisdom of the wise and discard the intelligence of the intelligent." So where does this lead the philosophers and the scholars and the world's brilliant debaters? God has made the wisdom of this world look foolish. Verse 21. Since God in his wisdom saw to it that the world would never know him through human wisdom, he has used our foolish preaching to save those who believe. It is foolish to the Jews who are asking for a sign from heaven. It is foolish to the Greeks who seek human wisdom. So when we preach that Christ was crucified, the Jews are offended. The Gentiles say it's nonsense. Verse 24 and 5. But to those called by God to salvation, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. This foolish plan of God is wiser than the wisest of human plans, and God's weakness is stronger than the greatest of human strength. Paul is addressing and will be addressing a lot of the issues in this church. Not our church per se, but in the church in Corinthians. And you think about it, when I started studying this book, more in detail, I'm like, wow, because a lot of people know that the gifts of the Spirit are found in this book, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But to get there, there's a lot of issues they have to deal with. And one of these issues is Paul's addressing today, and we'll look more at it next week as well, is the wisdom of this world. Because sometimes people are very wise according to this world standard. But in God's eyes, they're pretty stupid. They're foolish. Because the thing about it goes contrary to what God's word says. You ever read God's word and goes, that doesn't make sense. Why would God have me do this? Or has God ever asked you to do something and you're like, Lord, that's not really bright. But he still asks you to do it. And I know what Proverbs says. It says, the fear of the Lord is what? The beginning of wisdom. So the thing about it, if you really want to be wise, you start fearing God. And if you really want to be wise, you say, okay, Lord, how can I please you today? Every time I get up here, I'm wondering, one or two things are going to happen. Well, three things, according to this scripture verse. One, people are going to be angry. I didn't like what the pastor preached. Two, people say, oh, I love what pastor preached. It was good. And those two things don't get me to get up and preach. Nope. The third thing that will happen, will I please God or not in what I say and how the service goes? That's my main goal. My main goal is not to put a smile on your face or make you feel good or make you feel bad. My goal is not to get you healed. My goal is to, Lord, did I please you today? Just like when I was a little kid, I wanted to please my mom and dad really bad. And a lot of times I messed up because I followed my older brothers. They got away with, and there's things that they were allowed to do, and I thought I was able to do it because, hey, just because someone's 9 years older than me, I think I should be able to do that too. Well, that's not true. But now, in my walk with Christ, is everything I'm doing, is it pleasing to God? Even though you might look at it and say, Pastor, that's being foolish with the money. Whose money is it? It's God's money. You know whose clothes you're wearing? God's clothes. You know whose car you drove or got ridden in? God's car. You know those children that you have? They're not yours. They're God's. You know the breath that you just breathed? Even though you didn't know that you breathed it? It was God's breath. You know the food that you have at home? It's not your food. It's God's food. Everything you own, you don't actually own it. God's given it to you. Because some of you are very talented. All you are very talented. I better make sure I say that correctly. Because some people will say, well, I'm not talented, right? No. You're all talented. Trust me, I've seen your work. You're talented. You might not be the best artist, but God didn't create you that way. But you can still be talented in other areas. Talent is not just related to music and arts and crafts. If it was, I have no talent at all. But some of you are very talented in fixing cars, building things, harassing people. I'm good at that. That's my number one talent I was taught growing up. Some of you are talented in creating with your hands. See, the thing about it, the world will look at what we do in the church as foolish. They'll look at you like, you go every Sunday to church? When do you slip in? That's kind of foolish. You go on a Sunday night once a month to get, and it's a longer service than Sunday morning? Don't you know there's reruns of Chips from the 1980s? Huh? Don't you know Little House on the Prairie is another rerun that you've seen 10 times is on again? It's the one where Mary loses her sight. We can't miss that. See, the world will say, we almost had a revival service tonight. The world would say, that sounds stupid to have one on Super Bowl Sunday. Why? If Bad Bunny can play to thousands upon thousands of people, why can't we worship to the one true God? Amen. But things were situated. And so the thing about it is that the world will look at you being foolish. You go to church on a Wednesday night and pray for an hour or more? What? Foolish. In the world, you could be home making money. You could be working on a Sunday morning and get a little bit extra bankroll into your bank account. That's what the world says. Chick-fil-A closed on Sunday. There's no way they're going to last. No, that's not how they're doing. How about the craft store?
Hobby Lobby.
Hobby Lobby closed on Sunday. I'm not saying that you have to close on Sundays. What if you, like McNeilis, they honor the Saturdays. What day do you want to honor God? It's going to look foolish. I mean, when I have piles of dishes in the sink I have to get to, people come over, that's kind of foolish to pile up. Why? I'm not working. People are going to say you're foolish. And then Jesus takes another step. And he goes, oh, you say don't commit adultery, but I say don't even look at a person that way. Ugh. You know, you tithe the mint and this and that, but you don't take care, but you don't honor your parents. What's wrong with that? See, the thing about it, the world will look at what we do as downright silly, like taking communion. They thought the Christians were cannibalisms. Because Jesus says, take my body. Take my blood. That's cannibalism. But Jesus was saying, as a representation, he didn't really mean like, take my finger and eat it. He didn't mean like, I'm going to draw some blood and you go drink it. It means that when we just participated with other believers in taking communion, that we took the bread, we took the juice as a representation of what Jesus did. Well, you know, it's foolish to pray. Did you know when you pray, you get healed faster? It's been proven by scientists and doctors. Did you know how you speak about your illness actually brings healthier body quicker? It's been proven by doctors and scientists. Isn't it amazing? They keep proving the Bible correctly. Even they look at us, you're foolish for talking like that. Well, praise the Lord. I'm going to look foolish in front of them. You think about it. David dancing, coming in to the temple, or bringing the ark, and he's going to put a tent over it. And he's down to his skippies, and he's dancing away. And the thing about it, he's being blessed by God, and his wife was not with him. There's something wrong with that. And the thing about it is that he's there out there worshiping with all he had, and she's back looking at him with a beady eyes and a distaste to what God. And he goes, lady, if I want to keep worshiping like this, what's it to you? I'm going to be even more undignified than you can imagine. Because she was worried about what he looked like more than what his heart was. I'm not saying come in your skippies, your long johns next week, okay? We'll get you some clothes. But what David was saying, I might look foolish dancing before the Lord, but that's okay with me. I'll become more undignified. See, we're like come to church, we have our makeup on, I don't wear any. Or we come and we look good, we got our jacket on, we got our tie on, we got nice pants and press, and we're looking good. And I have nothing against looking good coming to church. But if you're trying to impress me by looking good, I really don't care. You can come in top hat looking like Abraham Lincoln. I really don't care. But how's your heart is what matters. And so as he's talking here, and Paul goes off, the cross is either foolishness. The cross of Jesus is foolishness to those who are perishing, those who are not part of the kingdom of God, those who aren't serving Jesus. The cross is just downright foolish. And it's interesting, the world thinks the cross is foolish, but they want to pull the cross off of everything that is out there. They go, you know, your religion is powerless, but we want to remove the name of Jesus from everything. See, they're backwards because they think the farther you get away from Jesus, the wickeder we become. The only thing that makes us halfway, or I'm not going to go there, what makes us who we are is Jesus to make us holy. Because without Jesus, we're going to be just like the world. And so it's foolishness. Or the cross is the power of God that saves. For those who are walking with Jesus, The cross is the only thing that can set you free. The Jesus that's on the cross. See, a cross has no power unless its meaning is Jesus. You can wear a chain with a cross. They're just wearing a necklace with a cross. What does that mean to you? You know? But a lot of times people look at it, oh, you must be a Christian. I've seen many people wear a cross around their neck with a chain. And they're not believers. At least their fruit is not very fruitful. I used to wear a cross or chain with a cross. I don't know what happened to it. It was back when I was about my son's age. And so the thing about it is that it either means power or it means foolishness. And Paul continues to write, and he quotes Isaiah 29:14, where he says that I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. Bill Gates and all of his wisdom has nothing on God. All these people, brain doctors, lawyers, all these smart people out there, I'm glad we have them, but their wisdom is nothing compared to how smart God is. Because guess what? God gave them that wisdom. And he goes, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and discourage the intelligence of the intelligent. In other words, you'll never match wits for wits with God. You can be, I mean, there's a lot more people out there a whole lot smarter than I am, and that's great. But the thing about it, I want my wisdom come from God. You know, I don't know why God said pray for somebody's bum this morning, that it's hurting, but I get it. Maybe somebody will listen to this podcast or watch it on YouTube or whatever. Maybe it's for them. I don't know. But when you obey God, you will look foolish in front of the world. You don't know how many times I've stopped somebody in a store, in the mall, and the Lord goes, pray for them. What? Yes, pray for them. All right. So I stop, I pray for them, and I go on. It doesn't look, I don't know what happens. All I know, I was obedient to what God's called me. Oh, I've given words to people. And it's been a helpful time for them, and they move forward greatly. And other times, they look at me like I just, like a deer in the headlights. Like, why are you telling me this? But God has made the wisdom of this world look foolish to him. In our own wisdom, we will never know God. Have you ever, well, at least maybe you haven't, maybe because of the people, the stuff I deal with, different preachers and stuff, the more titles they have and more degrees they have up on their wall, it seems like farther from God they get in the Bible. And I have nothing against people learning about the Bible and growing in God's Word. But a lot of times we become so smart that we have a lot of truth, but we don't have any of the Spirit to move us into everything God has for us. Then all of a sudden, this person comes out, you know, I have a PhD doctorate and a whatever all these other GED, I have my high school diploma. I have all these things. I even graduated from preschool. You notice that now they give you a diploma for preschool and kindergarten and now sixth grade. I'm thinking, wow, that's a pretty, okay. You know, The thing about it, people come up, I got all these degrees. I know everything. I know how the Greek and the Hebrew, the I's and the T's and the hot and the who and all these things. Great. But how is your walk with Christ? Well, I know all this stuff. I don't care if you know all this stuff. Do you know the one who wrote the book? Do you know the one who authored your life? Do you know the one who woke you up this morning and told your bedhead, get out of bed, you got something great for you today? Do you know the one that created you? And I'm not talking about your parents. I'm talking about the Almighty God who decided that egg and that sperm come together and boom, there you go. Do you know the one that chose those two to create you, to be special, to be mighty, be strong in Him? I really don't care if you knew all the culture about 1 Corinthians. Guess what? I don't. And guess what? I probably never will. If you want to know more about 1 Corinthians and that church and that culture, guess what? Study. I give you enough to go on, and it's your turn to go out and learn a lot more. And maybe you can come back and teach me. And I have no problem with that. That's the reason why I love when you guys get up on a Wednesday night and teach. We got to get back to that. Get you guys teaching me, because I don't have all the answers. And so, Paul is saying, you won't be smart enough to get to know Jesus. Because once you try to figure out Jesus, whoops, there he goes. He's doing something different again. You ever figure out this one passage? And you're like, oh, I know what this means. Now all of a sudden you read it again. Oh, man, it means something different now? Oh, shucks. But a lot of times, God takes you where you need to go. See, it's interesting. The Jewish people in the Bible were asking for signs. The religious people will always ask for a sign. I remember the old song? I don't remember who sang it. Here's your sign. You know? Like, hello? Look at Jesus. He doesn't need to give you a sign. He already is the sign. And so the Jewish people was always asking Jesus, give us a sign to prove that you are the Messiah. Give us a sign. Guess what? God doesn't have to give you a sign. Because God's God. Jesus is Jesus. He will give you a sign. Because every time the word is preached, there should be signs of a manifestation of Him being preached. What is that? It might look like one. Like Wednesday night was powerful. I mean, we stood and sat for like 10 minutes. Just nobody saying a thing. Nobody playing any music. And just the presence of God. That was a sign of God saying, I like this people. I'm going to dwell with them. They're kind of cool. They're my type of people. And so the thing about it, the Greeks sought wisdom. And Jesus goes, oh, you think you're wisdom? Well, you're foolish. So you have the world, you have the religious people, both asking for something. And Jesus went to the cross, says, here's the sign of me dying for your sins, for both of them. You want a sign? It's the cross. You want a sign? It's an empty tomb that we celebrate. We should celebrate Christmas and Easter every day of the year. Because He came, He lived, He died, He rose. He conquered death and hell. We have a reason to celebrate. And guess what? Be foolish for God. I want to tell you, it's hard to be foolish for God. Because when you know you have a need and God tells you to give all that need, you're looking at, but God, I need gas money to put gas in my car. But God said, take all that need and give it to somebody who also has a need, and I will take care of that need. It's foolish to obey God. It's, a lot of people say, you're not in the right mind. No, I'm not. I'm in the Lord's mind. And I want the Lord to be in my mind for Him to tell me what to do. But, this is so cool, but those who are saved, the cross is a beautiful thing. The cross is such a beautiful thing. He goes, but those who are called by God to salvation, both Jews and Gentiles. So he goes, it doesn't matter if you were religious. It doesn't matter if you were of the world. If you are now following Christ. He goes, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. And so in other words, he's both power that they're looking for and wisdom that they're looking for is all wrapped up in one named Jesus and what he did for us. Praise God. So this week, go out and be foolish for Jesus. Because if you want more power, you get to be more foolish. You want more, you know, it's not wise to fast 25 days just with water and tea. I agree. It's not wise to fast even a full day because the doctors will say, well, you know, you need food to survive. Did you know most Americans probably can last 7 days without eating? Not have an issue at all. And the thing about it, did you know a 3-day fast or even a 24-hour fast, water only, your body starts rehealing itself? Within 3 days, some of the health issues starts to deteriorate and you start becoming healthier and stronger. A 7-day water only fast, people have been cured of long-term diseases. Because what happens, your body breaks down all the stuff inside of you and it flushes junk out of you. I'm not saying do it, but if the Lord leads you to fast, maybe there's also physical benefits. Trust me. After 25 days, I'm like, okay, Lord, let's do it. Going through it. I'm not going to tell you a day of fasting is easy. 3 days of just water only, it's easy. I'm not going to tell you if you fast 7 days, wow. And after 3 days, you don't even feel hungry anymore. I think it's interesting when people go on hunger strike and they last like 2 or 3 days, I just laugh at them. Because if they would get through into the fourth day, the hunger pains actually start subsiding and become the mental thing. Did you know a lot of what we walk through is more up here than in here? Your tummy is an unruly beast. At least mine was. But up in the mind, it will start tricking you like, oh, wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be great? I digress. Let me get off that bunny trail. But the cross is Christ's power and his wisdom comes together. And then the last two, the last verse we looked at, verse 25. This foolish plan of God, you think about it, God's even, Paul's right now. Really, Lord? You want me to say foolish plan? Yeah. Because in the world, it was foolish for Jesus to come. Because you think about it, they already had everything. They already had their animal sacrifices. They had everything set up. It wasn't perfect, but it was doable. All these 600 and some odd laws, how easy is it to keep those? You know, it's like trying to keep track of all the laws they pass every year in the state of Minnesota. And you turn around, it's like, what? We can't do that anymore? Huh, since when? 5 years ago. What? They passed that law? See, most of us don't even know what laws we break. Just like there. But there was a perfect replacement for that. and his name is Jesus. And he's the only one that can fulfill it. And it's a foolish plan. But his foolish plan was been since the beginning of time. Before he laid the foundations of the earth. It says Jesus already had up in his mind, I'm going to earth to save them from their sins. Before the foundation. Even before you were thought of, before your grandparents were thought of, before your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandparents were thought of, before Noah was thought of, before Adam and Eve was thought of, before the foundation of the world, Jesus says, Father, I will go save those human beings from their self, because that's why I get to do. How foolish is that? That would you save your enemies? Would you go? I mean, it'd be easy to die for your pastor. Thank you very much for doing that. I appreciate it. Okay, some of you got the joke. But many of you would die for your kids, your grandkids, your great-grandkids, especially your grandkids and great-grandkids, because they can't do anything wrong. Right, Jim? Dylan can't do anything wrong. But the thing about it, you'd love, I mean, what about that person that absolutely hates your guts? That doesn't want anything to do with you? Would you still die for them? No, I won't. I don't like them. They don't like me. Hey, it's good. They go their way. I go my way. We're good. But Jesus looked at the hardest of criminals, the craziest of the craziest. The politician you absolutely do not like, and the politician that you absolutely love. The preacher that you absolutely detest, and the preacher that you absolutely love. The person that done you wrong when you were a child, the person who backstabbed you. You're like, I don't want to speak to them ever again. Jesus goes, I will die for them. Jesus said, those who were rolling dice for my clothing, as I was up on the cross, I'm dying for them. The Jewish people that said crucify, the Romans that said crucify, those who have, even Judas who turned his back and sold him for 30 coins, he goes, I will die for him. How foolish in our eyes is that? But Paul's saying, praise God for that foolishness, because we need it. Of all the plans in the world, Jesus didn't just die for the people he liked, he died for the ones who hated him. Even today, those who do not like, absolutely hate Christ, Jesus still died for them. The foolish plan of God is wiser than the wisest of the human's plans. God's weakness is stronger than the greatest of human strength. No matter how strong people are. See, I think it's very interesting. Every once in a while, I run across on YouTube or Facebook or whatever. Strongest man competition. I haven't seen Cletus on there yet. Someday I will. But they're there picking up these boulders. I mean, just crazy strength. They're weak in God's eyes. Mr. and Mrs. Universe with those bulging muscles coming out of their earlobes. Eyebrows they exercise. The finger exercise. They're weak compared to God. If you want to be strong, become weak. Cast all your cares. So, my mandate this week, go be foolish for Christ. Do something that will look foolish. Maybe, I don't know what it is, but I'm going to ask God to make you all fools for Christ. Well, what people will think? You're a Jesus freak. And that's not a bad thing. Because guess what? If you go to a Viking game, there's a lot of freaks there too. You ever see them paint their faces and their hair and stuff? Come on, that's not normal. It isn't. Hey, come on, let's be honest with you. I mean, you ever seen the fans for the Raiders when they were in Oakland? They're not normal. Come on. Football fans, I mean, they're out. I mean, or you go watch a winter game and they're out there. And, I mean, I know they probably had a little bit too much alcohol at the time. They're out there and they're just no shirt on. Yeah, they're not normal. Right? I would not go watch a football game in 10 below 0 degrees. Come on, that's not normal. I'll sell my tickets. No, that's normal. But the thing about it, we kind of that. Wow, they're fanatics for their team. How awesome is that? And we come to church, I don't want people to think I'm a fanatic for Christ. I don't want to go outside these four walls and pray for some. I want to encourage you all this week. Pray for somebody outside the church. Pray for somebody. Do something like that. I'm going to pray. When I go to the store, I'm going to pray. Lord, give me somebody to pray for. Lord, who can I bless this week? Well, I don't have money. I don't care. Be foolish for Christ, because that's the only thing that gets God's attention. I don't want normal Christianity of USA. I want Christianity of the Bible. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We ask now as we